Good evening. Welcome to the gospel meeting. I'd like us to sing together, if you would please, number 21 in the Little Flock hymn book in the back of the book. 21 in the back of the book. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well might His name by His saints be adored. He's redeemed them from hell by His blood, saved them forever, and brought them to God. Now in the glory He waits to impart, peace to the conscience, joy to the heart, waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel. Thousands have fled to His spear-pierced side. Welcome they all been, none are denied. Weary and laden, they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior they rest. Could we sing number 21?
Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well, my saints, be adored. He has redeemed them from hell by His blood. Save them forever and brought them to God. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well might His name by His saints be adored. Now in the glory He reigns to impart, peace to the conscience and joy to the heart. Waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel.
Shall we ask God's help together? Gracious God, we bless Thee for this gospel we have. We think of this Bible, as was stated, we have in our laps, and some of us in our hearts, and what a blessing it is, divine light from heaven. So we thank Thee for the gospel, a ray of blessedness for poor lost souls tonight. Help the speaker in his weakness. We pray for any child here, or older one, that is outside. We just ask for a blessing and a help. Lord Jesus, precious Savior, we need Thee. In Thy wonderful name we pray. Amen. In the meeting we had earlier, it got deeper and deeper. And when you walked out of there and you thought, my, what has sin wrought? Sin has cut terrible grooves in this world. It's broken homes, it's broken hearts, it's ruined nations even. And what I'm going to do tonight is take you even deeper. We're going to go down deeper in the scriptures and see what's down there. You know, before we do, though, I'm going to give you the cure, the remedy, in case the Lord comes before the meeting is over. Look, please, at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We have a very serious, serious subject here tonight. It's a blessed subject, and you get both of it, both of those thoughts in this one verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's a life that is the life, like the life of the Lord Jesus. It's everlasting. It's full. And you know, it's free for you tonight. But the other side of that verse, and there's a lot of them, you have the positive and the negative. We'll look at a couple of them. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We know John 3:16, there you have it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There you have the negative and the positive. God has been faithful. And there's so many verses like that. And tonight, we think too of the positive and the negative. As Peter spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But as I was saying, we're going to take you down deeper than the subject we had this afternoon, which was very deep and solemn. And I'll start off by talking about a man nailing down his roof on his house. We could picture this. He's way up there and he's nailing his roof down and running the hammer into those nails. And he sees his neighbor drive by. His name is Joe. He hates Joe with a passion. He sees red when he sees Joe, that neighbor that did him wrong. And so he keeps nailing down his roof shingles and he slips and he smashes his thumb. Does he use Joe's name in vain? No, he doesn't. So what we're going to do, we're going to go down deep into the heart of man. And it reminds me of a little story. I worked with a guy, his name was Kenny Nelson. He bought an old house. And he was there a while. Lo and behold, some plumbing or something went wrong in the house. And he needed to go in the crawl space. And so he opened up the hatch or whatever it was there. He looked down in there, and you know, you can find out our way, you can find opossums, you can find rats, snakes, mice, raccoons, spiders, all down there in that crawl space. Now, Kenny's kind of a timid guy. If you knew him, you'd love him. So he goes down in there and he thinks, well, I don't like this. I don't like this. So what does he do? He has his favorite dog, Jocko. He says, Jocko, come here. You're going to go down there with me. And he talks Jocko into going on there to face whatever he may come up with. Well, you know, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. So what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit, well, there's a good side to it. We're going to get to that. Thank God, thank God. But you go down deep in the heart of man, you'll find out he's an enemy. By wicked works, he's an enemy of the God that loves him no less. How'd that come about? Well, that happened in the garden years and years ago. Adam and Eve listened to the serpent, and they inherited a broken, fallen nature. There was a brother on the East Coast, I think it might have been Reeb. He was riding along on the train sitting next to a Roman Catholic priest. And they got in conversation, and this brother said to the Roman Catholic priest, he says, you know, there are two things that the Roman Catholic Church denies. Oh, what is that? He says, the utter depravity of man and the all-sufficiency of Christ. That priest said, you know, you're right. So, God in his faithfulness, he lets us down into that crawl space of your heart. Now, children, if you're 10, 11 years old, you don't even know this. There is a fixed principle locked in the crawl space of your heart, all the way down. And it's so bad that God had to condemn it. He had to take it off the record altogether at the cross. But it has fruit. Now that fruit, the sins that we so easily commit. And that's what God in his mercy and his grace has seen fit to do on our behalf. What a loving gift that was. We now can stand in the presence of a holy God at ease. How so? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, having forgiven you all trespasses. And he's done it in such a way that he brings glory to himself. It's not so much a question of can you be saved? Yes, you can. But the end result is he brings glory to himself, honor to God the Father, by saving your soul. Now, there's lots of young people here. Lots of them. And I had a little question. I had a little girl came by, maybe she's 10, 11 years old. I said, I'm not going to tell you her name. I've got it written down here somewhere, but I promised her I wouldn't bring her name up. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm about 11. And I said, when did you get saved? Oh, she said, I was about 4 or 5. Well, what worked in your heart to make you want to get saved? Well, she said, I was afraid. Well, what were you afraid of? Well, she said, I was sick and I was eating spaghetti and I threw up and I thought my insides were coming out. So I better get saved. She thought she was going to die. That's quite a story. I probably won't forget that for a while. And, you know, different ones. And there was a boy, he was 7 years of age, and he was stealing empty pop bottles. Those pop bottles didn't belong to him. They belonged to a concession. And there was bleachers. Underneath the bleachers were these empty pop bottles. In those days, they were worth 2 cents apiece. And these two boys, one's name was John, and the other's name was David. And they went over there with a shoebox, and they picking up these pop bottles, and they put them in the box. And this guy, David, had maybe 5 empty bottles. That's worth how much? That's worth 10 cents. So this 10 cent sinner, he got back to the house, and there's something going on. The candle of the Lord was lit inside of his conscience, his heart. His conscience was working. And the candle of the Lord, it's man's candle, and God uses it, and he goes down and he searches that crawl space. But what does he find? He finds, I'll read it to you in a few minutes from Isaiah chapter 1. So, this boy John, he said, what's the matter, David? But David said, I'm worried. There's something wrong. Well, what is it? He said, this isn't right. I feel bad. See, the candle of the Lord can search a 5-year-old girl or a 7-year-old boy, and there's lots of them in this room here, I know. I watch them running back and forth. The candle of the Lord, a candle, man's spirit is the candle, and the Lord takes that candle, and he lets you discover what's deep down in your heart. And you know what you'll find is in the Isaiah chapter 1. Let's look at it. I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 2. Yes. Chapter 1. Here we find condition of man. We're going down into that basement, that crawl space. You find out what's down there. Verse 5, Isaiah 1:5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither nor mollified with ointment. That's the condition of your heart, young person. And you know something? You may not even know it. As a matter of fact, what you are is far worse than anything you've ever done. Whoa. Is that possible? Yes. That fallen, broken nature that you have, you inherited from Adam, can do all kinds of evil things. We know of men of history, we don't need to bring up their names, terrible things, horrible things. And that's going on today. But you might say, don't tell me I've got that kind of a heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Did you hear that? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, God wants to tell you about somebody else. We read about wounds and bruises from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Please with me, turn with me please to Song of Solomon. In Isaiah we find out, or Song of Solomon chapter 5. Here we, in Isaiah we found out that the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon, and verse chapter 5 and verse 11. His head, who's that? His head is as most fine gold. Beautiful. Verse 14. His hands are as gold. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. As we read in Isaiah, all of you know what a cider press is, a home cider press. You put the apples in a bucket and you come down on the handle like that and put the pressure on. What do you get? You get apple juice. Well, when you put man in the press, what do you get? You get cursing and bitterness. Cursing and bitterness. When you put the Lord Jesus Christ in the press, what do you get? You get sweetness. Beautiful fragrance. And that's who we have to present to you tonight, in spite of all the misery that man has shown himself in this world. Poor, broken man. And you are part of it. Now, there's a mama sheep. Mama sheep. She leaves the fold. Where'd she go? She goes out in the wilderness, wandering, looking for something. Maybe greener fields, I don't know. Over hill and dale. Time goes on, and that mother sheep gets lost. How sad that is. And while she's out there, she has a little baby lamb. That lamb is born lost. Now, there's a little girl in this meeting. I think she's about 5 months old. And her name is Melody Blake. Sweet little child, probably redefines the name cute. And if that little baby were to pass away, for some reason, forbid the thought, that little baby goes to be with the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus came into the world to save that which was lost. Baby's lost. Doesn't need to be sought. Why? Hadn't gone astray. Had that nature, but didn't know anything about one way or another. But you get over to the story of Zacchaeus. Here you have a responsible adult. Now, I'd like to ask you 7-year-olds what a responsible adult is. Zacchaeus, he's a responsible adult. Well, what does it say about him? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to dwell at your house. Beautiful. He was a short man and wealthy. I know a few folk like that. So you can be one that can be found tonight. And how do you get that? You just let the candle of the Lord, I got to turn it up. Maybe it's Psalm 129. I don't know what's that. Let's see. Maybe somebody can help me. Can't find it. Spirit of man, the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. Can someone come up with that real quick? Proverbs 20:27. No wonder I was in the Song of Solomon. Yeah, look at that. Proverbs 20:27. The Spirit of the Lord is the candle of the man, searching the inward parts of the belly. That's God looking down to that poor, fallen, broken, sinful, godless nature that you inherited. That's what you inherited. You lost, but you don't have to stay lost. There's remedy. We're going to get to that shortly. To have the Spirit of God awaken you to your lost condition is such a blessing. Such a blessing. Because then you can have that righteousness that God provides. Wonderful. Gift of God, Psalm chapter 32. You know, there's something to go together here. And that is confession and praise. Confession and praise. You find that in David's life. When he had it all out in the presence of God. Confession. Then there was praise. And there can be praise to you, from you, to God the Father, tonight, by confession. And what's more than that? Of all the gods that are out there in the world that people claim to have, there's only one true God that you can be honest with. You can be completely honest, right, Dan? He gave me that thought. You can be completely honest with this God. You can come and you can tell Him, here I am, Lord. My life is a mess. I'm broken. I'm done for. And God has judged you in view of condemnation. But you're not condemned. We speak about a man, he's condemned, but he needs to be saved. Not so. He's judged. But he's not condemned. There's a time when he is condemned. When he rejects Christ as his Savior and he says no. Bill Brockmeyer tells this story. There was a man that he knew that was a believer that had this friend that was a parachute guy. Loved parachuting. That was his deal. And so when this man told him about the Lord Jesus, he said, well, I'll take care of that, you know, at the end of my life. Well, they were out the parachuting field, and he jumped out of the plane, two parachutes, safety and regular. They both failed him. And they could hear him cursing God as he went into the earth. Horrible story. You can't make fun of these things, children. You're coming. You're coming to a point in your life. I'm talking to the 7 to 11, 12-year-olds. In 5-6 years, you will have made a choice. It's a fork in the road. And if there is such a thing as a conference here 7-8 years from now, you'll be in one of two places, generalizing, of course. You'll be sitting there, rejoicing in the Lord, or you'll be off the paths of sin. That's what happens when you reject Christ. In James it says, Darby translation, he that will be a friend of the world is constituted enemy of God. What? If you want to know if you're an enemy of God this evening, are you a friend of the world? Now, what is the world? If this world is what they take up with and shut God out, whatever it is. We don't need God. Fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And so this world, now I might say this before I go on. God has made beautiful things in this world. Turn to Psalm 111. I love this verse. Psalm 111. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great. So there's many things we can enjoy in creation. Mountains, streams, lakes, valleys, relationships, and song, music, singing, all is God-given. These are the works of God, and they're to be remembered. It says in the next verse, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You children like to go to the mountains? You know, the Lord Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He didn't say go. He'll go with you. So you can enjoy what God has created in this world. You can enjoy it when you take Him with you. Oh, what a difference that makes instead of going on your own. His work is honorable, glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. Now look at this, verse 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Well, tonight we'll take you to the cross of Calvary. That's where it took place. That wonderful transaction. It's to be remembered tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We have the privilege of sitting here in a circle and giving Him thanks. And you know, there might be a minute or two or maybe three when there's silence. Can you sit quietly in the presence of God? I think some places where they claim to worship the Lord, if there was a 3-minute silence, they would be looking for the guy running the audio, or they'd call the police or something really serious is going on. No, but can you sit quietly in the presence of God and think about what He's done for you in perfection? Our God is great. Well, we're going to get out of the crawl space. Hallelujah. We're going to consider what he's done there at the cross. You know, Lord Jesus, he suffered as a martyr those first 3 hours. He suffered a martyr's death. It says, Psalm, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. They saw to it, like the farmer, he cuts the sod, plows, he turns it over. They saw to it. They plowed upon his back. That didn't save your soul. There's other men that have had the back plowed with the whip. But then he went to the cross. Well, he was there on the cross. Before that, they whipped him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. And Matthew, he's the king. What'd they do with him? They crowned him with a crown of thorns. And Mark, he's a servant. They bound his hands. And Luke, he's the son of man walking through this world. They nailed his feet. John, affections, they ran a spear from his side. Terrible. That's the basement of your life, your heart. And yes, if you'd have been there, you couldn't say, no, it's not me. People just like you and me were standing there crying out. You know, it says, crucify him, crucify him. You take the italics out of there. It's just crucify, crucify. There's no doubt of who it was. Get rid of him. Oh, my. So, tonight, children, think about it. Where will you spend eternity? Will you be with the lost, or will you be with the redeemed? And here you have the salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can have it as free. It's full. And if you want to bring anything, older one, so many people, you ask them, you know, how do you get to heaven? Well, you got to be good. I heard it 100 times. You have to. You want to perform, and God will weigh out the balance. Well, not so. No, that doesn't put away sin. It's the precious blood of Christ that puts away sin, can cleanse you from your poor, sinful condition. Maybe there's a young person here tonight that's thinking about, am I saved or am I not saved? Well, you know something, tonight you can be saved. You can take God at his word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So there he was. They took and they nailed him to a cross of wood, that back that laid open, a rugged cross, like they sing. And then they crucified him between two thieves. That one that restored that which he took not away. Oh my. They took him to a place of a skull. What's that? Empty head. You know what God has given you tonight? As a believer on the Lord Jesus, he's given you the mind of Christ. You can call God now your Father. You can call the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. You can call the Spirit of God your Comforter, the one that comes alongside and helps you through this poor, broken world. You can call the Bible your guidebook. You can call God's people your companions. Heaven is your home. And the Lord's coming is what you're waiting for. Analyze your life. Let that candle search you. Take the Spirit of God, take the candle of your conscience,
And let it search your heart. Where are you stand? Where do you stand tonight with God? Especially when mercy's gate is wide open. If you want to bring something to God of your own works, adult, He's got nothing for you. Zero. Nothing. If you want to come financially, He's got nothing for you. But if you come in a broken, lost condition, He's got Christ. And when you have Christ, you have everything. Your eternity is secured for you because it was secured with an uncorruptible blood. You know, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, received by tradition from the elders, but with the precious blood of Christ. What does that say? People say, you know, the Lord Jesus, He didn't sin. No, He didn't sin. But He could have. No, when He was a little boy, He was just like the rest of us. Oh, no. It says uncorruptible. You know, there's two parts to Velcro, A and B. A is what has the grabbers, and B is what the opposite is. And you put A to B in the Velcro, right? But you know something? The Lord Jesus, He had the divine nature, and you could throw sin at Him, and it just wouldn't stick at all. It's like throwing a piece of Velcro against a piece of glass. It wouldn't stick at all. That's just to show you, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Beautiful Savior that we have. We'll go on. Toby, a girl, 17, maybe 18 years of age, at the school where my wife taught. And just out of the clear blue sky, there was a couple girls standing there. Toby said, do you think hell is full with all the people going to it? Where'd this thought come out of? You know something? There's thoughts going on in the hearts of young people, old people, and you do not know what they are. So what's the story? Preach the word. Preach the gospel. Be instant in season, out of season. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Toby said, you think hell would be full with all the people going there? And then my wife said, no, hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. Oh, she said, don't have a chance. She said, you have a wonderful chance. You can be saved, said to a Christian girl standing there. Is that right? I said, that's right. You can be saved tonight. The chance, the gate is wide open. You just need to walk through faith. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you're lost. Don't bring anything but your sins. He'll save your soul. Oh, that is so beautiful. That's good news. Now we're going to turn to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. Here's a certain man. I take it that's a real person. And 14:16, certain man. The picture of the Lord Jesus, God, made a great supper, bad many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. Now that's what the Spirit of God is saying to you tonight. Come, children, come. Come on in. Join the happy band. Then what happened? Come, for all things are now ready. Oh, the sacrifice has been prepared. It's all ready. The Lord Jesus has given his life. He shed his blood, the sacrifices, there, prepared, ready for you. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. We were down a different part of the earth talking to somebody, and they said, this little illustration here, where I bought a piece of ground, and I bought five yoke of oxen, and I've married a wife. That has nothing to do with it. What they're saying, you stupid, we don't want any of yours. Whatever you got to offer, we ain't gone. We want no part of it. That's all they're saying. If he had a wife, he could have brought his wife alone. The servant came and showed his lord these things, the master of the house, being angry. Said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Oh, that's the business part of life, streets and lanes of the city, bringing hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Do you fit in that category? You're poor, you've got nothing for God. You're blind, you can't see life. Maimed, you're halt. Servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. Yet there's room. Tonight there's room for you. And then it says, the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in. Oh, children, I see young people on the highway and they're headed out of town, away from God, on their road that leads to destruction. Why not, instead of running away from God, why don't you turn around and hide in God? You can hide in Him tonight. And then it says, hedges. Oh, they're in the shade. They don't want to come out into the light. They love their sins. They love their sins. I say that my house may be filled. Oh, heaven's going to be filled. Hell isn't going to be filled. But destruction. But heaven is going to be filled, and it's going to be filled to the glory of God. Oh, that's so beautiful. Will you be there? I'll be there. Why? Well, that little 7-year-old boy that the candle went in and searching out, found out, is the guy that's standing here today. 7 years of age, I realized that I was lost. And old Johnny, I think his last name was, I know his last name was Grace, believe it or not. A fellow thief. I'll stop here and tell a story. Shouldn't have done this, but I did. Lady taking her home, older lady, and got talking about the Lord, and back and forth, probably talking about her goodness and being so kind and so on. Do you ever tell lies? Yeah, when you're a kid, you know, you tell lies. Well, then I said, then you're a liar. Ooh. And so she let me know later on when she came to pick up her car that she didn't appreciate that. But if you tell lies, you're a liar. Or if you've taken something that isn't yours, you're a thief. And so this little 7-year-old boy, he was told by the 10-year-old boy, John, who was a fellow thief. He said, what's the matter? I'm lost. I need to get saved. Well, are you not saved? No. So he said, well, do you want to get saved? I said, yeah, because my conscience was working. So he said, well, let's get down here. I remember much about it. Don't remember much about it. But there was no grass, just there in the dirt. We got down on our knees, and I said, I don't know what to pray. He says, you pray after me. And I suspect this 10-year-old boy who had good training, he probably said, tell God you're a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He'll save your soul. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now tonight, you can sit right down on the sinner's bench. There's just room for two. Just room for two. You and who else? Your mother? No, it can't help you. Your brother or sister can't help you. Who's going to be on that bench with you? It's the Lord Jesus. He was made sin. He took the responsibility of your sins in His own body on the tree. And you know, when He hands you a salvation, children, that can't be taken away. And I've had men say to me, matter of fact, one of the men I work with, do you mean to say now you got that salvation and you can go out now and have a party and do anything you want and still be saved? That came right out of the crawl space. That's where that came from. That is the lowest unredeemable thought you can imagine. What about this? Now that you're saved and you can't be lost, you can turn yourself over to God and you can praise Him, you can thank Him, you can glorify God for the salvation that He wrought on your behalf, sinner. Why not? Why not? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Our time's up. Your time will be up someday. Don't be like that parachute guy. I'll take these issues when I get to the end of the trail. A fool. A fool. Shall we pray? God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for salvation offered free. We thank Thee for the home above prepared for us at such a cost. Lord, we could use another hour to speak of the beauties of Thy dear Son and what He's done. And we're going to see Him, Lord Jesus, Father's house forever. We thank Thee. Now, Father, if there's some young one here, maybe there's an old one that's slipped off the path, as it were, and needs restoration, maybe confession and the joy that comes with it, praise that comes with it. We pray if there's a little one here tonight, we go to their mommy and daddy and tell them, I want to be saved tonight. So we just ask this, Father, in Jesus' precious name, amen.